So, we are going to look at how God started with human beings and what he said and what he did not say. Then God said, in verse 26, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds and the heavens, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. When you read this, you can easily forget that we call it the dominion mandate, where God said to the creatures he just made, "I want you to manage this for me." But there is one species which God does not mention to have dominion over: other human beings. Man has absolutely no authority to have dominion over other human beings. Anyone who gets a position to manage in whatever area you are managing in is to lead people, not to have dominion over people. Jesus said it this way: "You are not mastering over the people. You are servants to the people." Not even he himself came to master people or to have dominion over people. He came to serve people. Keep that in mind, because my title this morning of the sermon is "Freedom is Responsibility." Freedom is responsibility. And responsibility is exactly the word what you and I get when we have certain positions in life where we help other people succeed in life. We have responsibility, we have no dominion. A big issue in the world we're living in, but it has always been a big issue. We're looking at 6,000 years of biblical history, and we recognize that man didn't like that God somehow had a mental break and forgot to put humankind in there also to have dominion over him. Because the word there where it says Adam, he called him Adam, the word Adam, that's how you pronounce it in Hebrew, Adam means humankind. So whenever you read Adam or Adam, it means humankind. And that one is missing to rule. Why? The very one who created us is the only one who can have dominion over what he has created, because he owns it. Last time I looked up, not a single human being in a political sphere has ever created another human being like God did. Therefore, no dominion. Responsibilities. The very thing most people in leadership always want to blame somebody else for. I don't know, probably 90% of all the information you're getting through these big flyers, they're so big they don't even fit in your mailbox. They're huge. And every time when you look at these flyers, you recognize somebody wants to blame a problem on somebody else. These are not leaders. These are not leaders. We are to look for leaders who are servants. Servants. If you and I want truly freedom, we have to take that responsibility to look at these things from a biblical way. So obviously, I have shared with you last Sunday about Alexander Solzhenitsyn, a man who went to a system which we know as socialism, communism, dictatorship, tyranny, whatever you want to call it, and gave us a warning that if America is not having their eyes open and take responsibility for their own actions, America is going to follow eventually into the same footsteps former Soviet Union did and now China does. And this is what he said, I quote him. He's talking about totalitarianism, and I'm going to give you the definition later on. He said the foundation of totalitarianism is an ideology made of lies. Keep that in mind. An ideology made of lies. The system depends for its existence on a people's fear of challenging the lies. Whoa, where do we live today? Where do we live? You can see Solzhenitsyn wrote that 60 years ago. Okay? But the question obviously is, what does the ideology of lies look like today? And I give you a few quotes from authors I already mentioned to you, a few new ones, so just to introduce you to spending more money on books. But in the book called The Deeper State, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis gives us this definition, what he has observed. And for those of you who don't know McGinnis, McGinnis was a man who was literally growing up in the White House as his mother served many different presidents. And he was growing up in that environment, and then he went to the military academy, he graduated, became a lieutenant colonel eventually in the army, is now retired, and then after his retirement he became a counselor for the Pentagon, especially on advanced equipment. So he knows what's going on. He's right there in the middle. People have these kind of positions and take these kind of responsibilities. They can share with us some things. And this is what he says in the book. By the way, the book was written in 2017. Well, that was when it was published. It might have been written before. He said, globalism is a synonym for globalization, the system of global economic interconnection that is embraced by liberal groups like labor unions, climate change alarmists, and the wealthy, self-righteous elite. Many of those same advocates mistakenly claim globalization is a dispassionate concept that describes the associated increasing connectivity throughout the world that makes our lives better. And then he goes, that's at best a half-truth. Well, let me tell you, that's a lie. That's a lie. The bigger you get, it's not meaning that you are going to be better. He goes on to say, the core of this world's globalist community is a worldwide network of self-consumed elitists and the mass of naive supporters. International financiers, the loyal landowners, and wealthy political figures who seek to control everything and everyone on earth. That would be dominion, correct? They use their wealth to exercise control over the global's power centers, which are corporations, the media, education, governments, religion, medicine, and even the military. It's a mouthful, isn't it? May I remind you, he published this before COVID-19 came along. But we don't have to go to the newest thing. What we are experiencing today has been seen by former presidents of the United States of America, former people who have run for president of the United States, who had the courage to say there are nefarious things going on underneath the surface which the American people need to know, otherwise they're going to stay naive and believe what is being fed is actually giving them the empowerment the Constitution allows us to have, but In reality, it takes the power away from them and gives it to a few elite people. Which then don't take the responsibility and therefore snuff the freedom out. That's how that works. One of those people wrote a book called With No Apologies. He was running for the President of the United States. He was a senator. His name is Barry Goldwater. For most of you, probably you say, never heard of the man, doesn't matter, it's American history. If you don't know it, it's good just to dig in. He wrote that book in 1964, and this is what he said. He said, David Rockefeller's newest international cabal, cabal is another word for a secret society that has its root in the demonic. That's a cabal. And he goes on to say, it's a trilateral commission, and it is intended to be the vehicle for multinational consolidation of the commercial and banking interests by seizing control of the political government of the United States. He wrote that in 1964. He said, the Trilateral Commission represents a skillful, coordinated effort to seize control and consolidate the four centers of power. Listen to this. What do they consider the four centers of powers? Politics, monetary, intellectual, and ecclesiastical. He said, the political power, the financial power, which would be Federal Reserve and International Bank of Settlements, intellectual is educational system, and obviously the rest is church. He said, what the Trilateral Commission intends is to create a worldwide economic power superior to the political governments of the nation states involved. As managers and creators of the system, they will rule the future. So I was interested, what is going on? In 1964, he wrote that for us. And what did the people say in the media? How did they portray this candidate? And here are a few words, chosen words. They called him racist, xenophobic, anti-Semite, and conspiracy theorist. Well, 60 years later, we hear similar words, don't we? Well, interestingly enough, 27 years later, that same David Rockefeller gave a speech in front of the Trilateral Commission. And it was published. And he confirmed exactly what Goldwater wrote and what they said, this is conspiracy theory. These are David Rockefeller's own words. We are grateful, he said, to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time magazines, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. Rockefeller says, we want to thank the media that they have actually attended our meetings and pledged allegiance to secrecy so we can actually undermine the populace of the United States of America. He gives them credit. He said, it would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had not been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those days. Wow! Now, let me remind you, the Bible tells us everything that is done in secret is of the evil one. Let me remind you of this. This has biblical implications. The work is now much more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government, he says, the supernatural sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the nation other determination practiced in the past centuries. For those of you who have some maybe problems with some of the words, when you read that auto-determination means going through the electoral election process. That's another fancy word. Don't let the people say who they prefer. We are more preferable if we are going to be as bankers, as international tech company leaders, making the rules as we go along. That was published and said in 1991. So now we know where we are, correct? So would you say that the people in general are not well informed? Yet we have a lot of information available at our fingertips. I see people constantly walking down the street. They never see me. They're looking at this little screen. They never see anybody. They're pumping information into their brain somehow. And then they text this information to somebody else. I have always tried to get this little phone into my hand and type with my fingers. They're so thick that you get all fancy words. And then, have you ever autocorrect? Have you ever had that one? You type a word in, and there comes a word, but you don't even know what it is. And before you know, you send the send button, and your part on the other side says, what in the world? The guy needs to go and see a doctor. What did he type? We sent that send button a little bit too fast, and the artificial intelligence did all the work for us, correct? Not exactly the way we planned it. Based upon your response, it happened to you. So I'm not the only one. So I'm not using these fingers anymore, so when you see me typing or something like this. Then comes my son. Brrr. I go, how did he do this? So much for older people versus the young generation. They just know how to work these things, correct? So the problem with that is, because we have so much information, that doesn't mean we are wise. We can have a lot of information and still be naive. As a matter of fact, you can have this whole Bible memorized and still be naive to the spiritual truth. See? And there is the difference. So we need to change the way we do things. Because we are not in the authoritarianism stage in the United States of America and around the world. One thing COVID-19 has shown me, and the way the leaders in the world reacting to it, that we are heading towards a totalitarianism, not authoritarianism. These are two entirely different terminologies. I wrote it out for you. Authoritarianism is what you have when the state monopolizes political control. That means they can monopolize political control, but there's still some freedom. And that is also known as dictatorship. Even under dictatorship, you have some freedoms if you're smart enough. But it is bad because totalitarianism is even worse than that. And that is what we have not understood in the nation. And I tell you why. America is actually founded on Christian principles where you have still a conscience that bothers you if you lie and steal. Just to say a few things. However, we're watching right now on the news that people don't care about lying and stealing. Seems like their conscience has vanished somehow. It's not normal. In the Western culture, and I said that many times to you before, and it definitely needs to be repeated, you need to learn that the Eastern culture is not mingleable with the Western culture. These are two entirely different cultural systems. If you have never been in the former Soviet Union, if you have never been in Latin America, and you have never talked with the people and worked with them, you do not understand their thinking. So when we have these things that all of a sudden people say, well, we're going to end up socialism. Listen, socialism is just a forerunner. It's the bad boy that runs ahead of everything. Socialism is not the big deal. It is a stepping stone, but it's only a means to go further. So what is totalitarianism? I wrote it down for you. Here it is. By the way, for those of you who have not picked that up last time when I said Hannah Arendt is actually a Jewish lady. She was born in Germany. She went to the Second World War. She went to all what Hitler did. She became an American citizen, a professor of sociology and philosophy. She wrote some of the best books, How Human Beings Working or Don't Work. Excellent lady. She's known as actually the prime source of history that brings us back to where totalitarianism was working. She understood the inside and outside. Excellent book. She wrote The Origins of Totalitarianism. That's one of the title of the books. And this is what she said. I took it straight out of her book. She said, a totalitarian society is one in which an ideology seeks to displace all prior traditions and institutions, with the goal, I highlighted, of bringing all aspects of society under control of that ideology. Let's stop there for a second. We have seen in the United States of America, all of a sudden it was not about protesting about certain things, is let's take all the historical icons down. Let's erase American history. And then everything is systemic. And I say, guys, where have you been? If you ever want to know a systemic problem, go to a communist country. You will find out how that looks like. We are far from that. Far from that. And then she goes on to say, a totalitarian state is one that aspires to nothing less than defining and controlling reality. Truth is whatever the rulers decide it is. That was written by a Holocaust survivor. Wherever totalitarianism has ruled, it has begun to destroy the essence of man. That caught my attention. The essence of man is that you and I are made in God's image. That's the essence of man. Alive, precious. And she said, if you let totalitarianism rule, the essence of man is at stake. Why? You become a number. She saw how Hitler and later on communism under Stalin gave people only numbers. They tattooed the numbers on their forearms. You are not a human being. You are an animal as long as you are in the production facility working on their behalf. They keep you alive, and if you're non-productive, they kill you. That's what Hitler did. That's what Stalin did. That's what Mao Zedong did. That's what China does right now. Millions in concentration camps, making them work for cheap products, which they sold over to us. Then took the money from these products and then funneled it back into the United States of America to washing it. It's money laundering, so that they can influence the politicians to take up their biddings. That's how that works. I was amazed when I listened to the big debate that's coming out about one of the presidential candidates that's running, and he has actually a mafia family. And I was absolutely amazed, the names they mentioned. I was 40 years ago in the financial industry. All the names they mentioned where they laundered that money, I've been right in the middle of it, working for the bank, international banking. And I told my wife, and I said, I can't believe it takes that long before people's eyes are being opened. These money laundering schemes from politicians goes in the United States way back. Way back. The American people just don't know. Because there is a plan, and the plan is to get us to that aspect, that all aspect of society is under control of a ideology. Have you ever heard, and this is the reason why you need to listen to words. I'm listening very carefully to words when people saying it. A presidential candidate, Joe Biden, said this. America is simply an ideology. I go, what? He's referring directly to this. We are going to implement totalitarianism. See, they speak a language which the American people don't understand, but their people and their buyers and their supporters, they know exactly what they're talking about. It's called the secret language. Remember, cabal? That's a secret society. They know. And we just go, okay, the guy just had a brain capacity, memory loss, whatever. No. Sometimes he speaks the truth. And so you and I have the freedom given by God and praise God by a constitution which we dare protect. Because that you and I can sit here in the church the way we do, is directly linked to our forefathers having foresight to give us a constitution that allows us the freedom of assembly, the freedom of having a church gathering like we have. If this is being questioned, and it is being questioned today, my friend, you would have to go underground. You would. And don't you dare think it can never happen. I can summarize today before I give you all the other things which I have. This is a wonderful story in the Old Testament. It's actually written out by Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. And Isaiah the prophet was involved. And Israel was about at the place where the United States of America is today. Very crucial time in life. But they went a step further. The Assyrian army was actually surrounding Jerusalem. They already taken a lot of cities around them. And Hezekiah did not know what to do. He cries out to God. He said, what shall I do? They're going to destroy everything what you ever gave us. There's no freedom anymore. Your people are being surrounded and we're being slaughtered and we're not going to make it. We have an overwhelming force against us. God speaks not to Hezekiah, he speaks to Isaiah and says, go talk to him. Isaiah says, oh, the Lord spoke to me and he told me, Hezekiah, don't worry about it. I see all the things that are going on. You cried out to me. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a thought into the king of Assyria, that he is going to hear an army invading his country. He takes all his army with him and he goes home to fight them. He will never get into your city like this. Hezekiah probably goes, I don't know. Doesn't look like that way. The next morning, the king of Assyria and the commander of the Assyrian army heard the rumor and left. I'm telling you this because God eventually told Hezekiah, I'm giving you a brief period. And I will not destroy Israel's sovereignty over this land as long as you live. And I feel like we are there in America. If we are praying and we trust in God and we do our duties and we don't let our freedom be taken from us, God is giving us another Hezekiah period. I just want to let you know, I firmly believe we have it, but the church better doesn't fall asleep during that time. The church is the light of every nation. If the church is polluted, the church will actually bring down the state where they're living in with them. Totalitarianism is a devastating way of doing business because it takes that we abdicate our freedom, and how do we do it? We don't take responsibilities. That's how we do it. Quoting one more time Robert McGinnis in his book, this is what he said about it. Let me see if we can get it up there. He said, the problem is that most of the public hasn't a clue about the danger posed by elite globalists, which reminds me of something Adolf Hitler, the genocidal Nazi dictator, once said about the German masses. And it's true, you can look it up. That's exactly what Hitler said. He said, how fortunate for leaders that men do not think. End of quote. And how many times did I tell you? Just think. I know it hurts, but do it anyway. People need to think. God gave you this thing up here called the brain to be used. Use it. It's time the masses awaken, he said, to the globalist threat and think about the likely consequences of their agenda. There will be consequences if we are not waking up to that reality, what's going on. So, I promised you that there is so much going on which you need to know. So, the question I want to ask you this morning is, who are these rulers and where do they come from? Well, let me say it first and foremost. It's a spiritual battle. There are principalities and powers who are over the United States of America who seem to lose the battle against other principalities and powers. That's how powerful they are. You say, that will never happen. Oh, yeah. Read Daniel. These principalities and powers manipulate the minds of the leaders and the people. They're so powerful. It's in the spiritual realm. So our battle is primarily spiritual, but it manifests itself immensely in the physical. And so when we want to tackle physical problems with physical means, that's one thing. But what if you want to tackle spiritual problems with physical means? You're on the losing end. Since the church has been put to sleep over the last 60 years, not believing that there are spiritual battles any longer. And so we revert to something else. I will not give you everything I've written down, but I give you a few things. Last week, I introduced you to the book, which I actually took the title from, Live Not by Lies. Remember? Rateur wrote that. And he said, this is how you ought to unmask those kind of people who would like to lead you down the wrong path. He says, back in the Soviet era, totalitarianism demanded love for the party. And compliance with the party's demands was enforced by the state. Mark that. Today, totalitarianism demands allegiance to a sect of progressive beliefs, many of which are incompatible with logic. Have you ever asked yourself, that doesn't even make sense? And he said, and certainly with Christianity, compliance is forced less by the state than by elites who form public opinion and by private corporations that, thanks to technology, control our lives far more than we would like to admit. End of quote. So this is what we are going to face, correct? We see that everywhere. So let me give you how he explains it. Let me give that to you. Because most of you don't read these kind of books, I just have to quote it, correct? So, and in today's time, it is so difficult just to mention something without people saying, hey, that's plagiarism because you quote two sentences from the guy. God has blessed me with a good memory, so sometimes I can memorize whole sections. And then I said, but I have to give credit. So if you're just in the sermon, you preach it, and you forget to give credit, it's actually plagiarism. So that's why, for my own safety, I put it up there. So just hang with me. So this is a quote from Ralph Dreher's book. Soft totalitarianism exploits decadent modern man's preference for personal pleasure over principle, including political liberties. That's a mouthful, but I explain it to you in a second. The published will support, or at least not oppose, the coming soft totalitarianism, not because it fears the imposition of cruel punishment, but because it will be more or less satisfied by hedonistic comforts. So he said the way they are going to do it is not the way Hitler did it or the way Stalin did it, because they did it with brutal force. He said, oh no, they are going to be smarter this time. They know that there will be a destruction of life and property if they go in with force. They will try it, but in the United States of America, it will not work because our military forces are way too strong. So they will have to come up with another idea. And then he goes on to say, soft totalitarianism makes use of advanced surveillance technology, not yet imposed by the state, but rather welcomed by consumers as aids to lifestyle convenience. And in a post-pandemic environment, likely needed for public health, it is hard to get worked up over Big Brother when you have already grown accustomed to big data, closely monitoring your private life via pass, credit cards, and smart devices, which make life so much easier and more pleasurable. In Orwell's fictional dystopia, the state installed telescreens, that's in 1984 in the book, in private homes to keep track of individual lives. Today, we install smart speakers into our homes to increase our sense of well-being. He said, make no mistakes, it will come back to haunt you. Yep. He said, it will be used as a powerful, powerful tool. People don't believe me when I say it. I said it for years. Be careful what you get into your house. If you don't believe me, how many of you have cell phones? Okay. So you go and research on Google, let's say, an author, correct? And within 3 minutes, you get 5 emails that is directly linked to what you just researched. We're not being controlled at all. We're not being influenced at all. We are such free creatures, there is nobody influencing me, correct? My wife goes and says, how in the world did that happen? I got another 150 emails today. And I said, you're my secretary, you're going to delete them, don't you? And sometimes she deletes those which I should answer. I said, did you get an email from so-and-so? They called me, and I didn't answer. She said, oh, I thought that was junk. I said, well, you have to retrieve it again. And so she will do it for me. She's wonderful in these areas. But you see, we get so frustrated with things because we get so bombarded with things, you know? So Philip Reeve is another author which you will get to know if you are in, especially in the field of philosophy. So my philosopher will like Philip Reeve. Philip Reeve, by the way, was not a Christian. He was not a believer. He was, I wouldn't say he was an atheist because he never says it, but he was not a believer, for sure. He had a brilliant mind. And he wrote, as he researched how these things are working in the United States many, 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 many years ago. As a matter of fact, he published a book in 1966, and he called it The Triumph of Therapeutic. Very interesting. So, and he understands about the nature of the culture revolution that overtook the West in the 20th century, the last century. And he said it defines the core of totalitarianism. I show you this because most people don't believe how far we're down the road already with that. So I quote him here. The death of God in the West had given birth to a new civilization devoted to liberating the individual to seek his own pleasures and to managing emergent anxieties. Let that sink in for a second. Religious men who lived according to belief in transcendent principles that ordered human life around communal purposes has given way to psychological men. He says, if I look at the whole thing just from a researching aspect of history and how it worked, he said, for thousands of years, the human being on this planet was a man that was religiously connected somehow, even if they didn't worship God, but they knew there was a God. And the whole society worked on that principle. He said, in the 60s, we switched it to psychology. Psychology man. He said, for psychology to fully be rooted in the church, you need to destroy the religious man. He said, it was very easy done. He said to us, who believed that there was no transcendent order and that life's purpose was to find one's own way experimentally? Man no longer understood himself to be a pilgrim on a meaningful journey with others, but as a tourist who traveled through life according to his own self-designed itinerary with personal happiness his ultimate goal. What did penetrate the church in the last 40 years in the United States of America? Everything is about my ultimate goal to be happy. This man nailed that in 1966, and he said it will ruin the United States of America because it ruined the churches. We switched from religion to philosophical spoken psychology. In 2005, Philip Reeve was still alive by that time. In 2005, two researchers in the sociology department kind of researched not just Reeve, but the research was going on in the societies, and they came up with a terminology. They called it the moralistic therapeutic deism. Now, these are words, correct? Which all of you just understand. It was actually Christian Smith and Melinda Lindquist Denton who coined that phrase. And this phrase consists of the general belief that God exists and wants nothing more from us than to be nice and happy all day long. And if I'm not nice and happy, I am not having anything to do with that God because he doesn't provide it for me. It's a culture where the great sin, according to them, is not being happy. That's the sin in the church. If you're not happy and took everything you want, you cannot possibly have the same God like I have, who have everything and be happy. In other words, the richest billionaires in the world, they should be the most Christian people, according to that theory. But I have some bad news for you. They are the most demon-possessed people. I always say money doesn't come from thin air. Money is in the world, and it goes from one place to the other. So if you have less, somebody else has more. You know how that works? Every morning you go up, you find out who took yours. It always moves. It always moves. That's how economy works. But when you start to believe in the church that God is loving me and caring for me and is really alive, if everything goes well, you have sucked that whole lie right into your system. And most mega churches preaching exactly that. And now we can't see what's going on. It's a preparatory step for totalitarianism. Why? Think about it this way. If I can provide for you everything that makes you happy, you can travel, you can do everything you want, why wouldn't you go for it? Even if it means I have absolutely no freedom, but I don't have any responsibilities either. Send me the check. It goes something like this. Sit at home, watch TV, and get every month $3,000 sent by the feds into your bank account, and you're happy. That's totalitarianism. That's not socialism. You have given up the rights to govern, and you have given up the rights to take responsibilities for your own life. Somebody who is just feeding on the government trough has not taken any responsibility for their life. Now, obviously, there are exceptions. You know, you can be injured if you go to war, you're under the vetting. They deserve it. They deserve somebody maybe has some conditions. You are not just doing nothing, but you maybe have some medical conditions where you need support just to make a life. This is all off the chart. This is not there. What I'm talking about is people are able to go to work and have a brain to think, but refuse to use it and want just everything from the government for free. That is soft totalitarianism. If you're an able body, go to work. Go to work. It shows that you take responsibility for your own life and responsibility for the children you may have, or just responsibility for your spouse, but don't sit there just taking money. Don't do it. Why? The frog in the kettle is probably the most known pattern how that goes, correct? It's warmer and warmer. I give you one more quote from Rod Dreher, from his book. He said this. Let's see if we get it up. For the first time, humankind was seeking to create a civilization based on the negation of any binding transcendent order. We are not responsible to anyone. Transcendent order means we have to give account to God. And by the way, just in case you have forgotten, all of us will leave one day this body behind. And when we leave this body, we stand before God Almighty who created us, who gave us that dominion mandate, who gave us the responsibilities. And we're going to give account for it. None of us escapes. None of us escapes. The Bolsheviks may have been godless, but even they believed that there was a metaphysical order, one that demanded that individuals subordinate their personal desires to a higher cause. Wow, that's from Schiff still. Let me go to the next one. Well, actually, I wanted to give you this one too, yeah. Even the church leaders were lying to themselves about the ability of the institutions they led to resist the therapeutic, he says. Listen, I preach for ages against having psychological treatment in the churches when you have spiritual problems. You can't solve spiritual problems with psychological methods. It's not working. Why do you think we have all these problems? It's not working. You can't solve problems that are spiritual with medication. You can subdue the spiritual power in the person by highly sedating your mind, because demon spirits working through your mind. You can do that. Watch what's happening when those talks subside with the power. You're going to have to scrape people from the ceilings. They go crazy on you. And that's just the way God made us. We have to take responsibility for our own life. And he says, the blame is laid at the church leaders. He foresaw a future of religion that devoted to spirituality that is setting us up for a soft totalitarian society. So, what are we going to do? How is true freedom designed? How are we going to work this through it? Let me quickly give you the next one from Rotterdam. If true freedom is defined as freedom of choice, did you hear that already? Freedom of choice? He said, if that's the freedom, as opposed to the classical concept of choosing virtue, then the door is wide open to reforming a religion along therapeutic lines centered around subjective experiences. This is why so many conservative Christians did not see and still cannot explain the ongoing victories of transgenderism in the culture war. Beautifully connected. He says it just the way it is. He said the transgender phenomenon, which requires affirming psychology over biological reality, is a logical culmination of a process that started centuries earlier. He said, now we are all up in arms because all these, I don't know how many letters you got behind it, but when I say four, somebody comes up to me and says, Pastor, you met four letters, that's all you met so far? Don't you know there are 15 others? I think there are 32 total. No. So, but I dare not remember them. God just doesn't give me the brain capacity to do so. You know, we don't understand the battle that's being fought. Have you ever recognized we have battles from every side? It seems like we can hardly cope. It's bombarding us from every side. Family values are being destroyed. Our biologies are being changed. The government takes over who can do what, when. The family, mom and dad, don't have any authority anymore. Then we see our political system going awry. Then the economic system, then the health system. You wonder, what in the world are we in? What's going on? Ever ask yourselves? That's what's going on. It has been planned for years and years. He said Christian resistance on a large scale to the anti-culture has been fruitless and is likely to be for the foreseeable future. And then he gives us the reason. Why? Because the spirit of the therapeutic has conquered the churches as well. Even those populated by Christians who identify as conservative, relative few contemporary Christians are prepared to suffer for their faith because the therapeutic society that has formed them denies the purpose of suffering in the first place, and the idea of bearing pain for the sake of truth seems ridiculous. And yet, every church that was strong in its age was a church that knew how to overcome suffering. That's how we are strong. Whatever happens to the United States of America, whatever happens to the world, I am not having a crystal ball. I can tell you what's happening tomorrow. Yeah, in 2 days we vote. I can tell you this. That's going to happen probably. But, you know, beyond that, you cannot really say what's going to happen. And here is the deal, my friend. Whatever happens, our God allowed it to happen. We serve a sovereign God. He allowed it to happen. And if it means that we have to struggle, if it means that we have to finally learn what the church family is all about, I have preached that to you for a long time. This is not an institution. This is not a church organization. This is a family of believers who gathers in this church. That's all. Amen. Yeah. And when things come, we are going to be in this together. There may be things coming which you cannot handle on your own. And none of us is going to go to a cave. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to personally pick you up and bring you back where you belong. We don't hide in caves. We don't hide somewhere. If you are a true follower of Jesus, remember the righteous is as bold as a lion. We don't cower. We don't go into hiding. We stand strong. And whatever happens, happens. God is in control. Keep that in mind. We might have been tested to this COVID-19 shutdown pandemic and all the other garbage they put on us. But I want to tell you something. This only made me more stronger. You can only watch that garbage for so long, but then you say, the people better wake up. You and I need to be strong. And we don't need to resort to illegal means. We do it according to truth. Believe me, when everything is said and done, truth is the only one that stands. The only one. I've seen churches are struggling, churches going after each other. I see fights going on in I hear it all every week. Churches in this area. The fights going on everywhere. Where should we go? What should we do? Who should be the leader? You know who that is? That's Satan at work. This is not a time to fight. This is a time to take the temptation, to take the suffering, to take the struggles, to take the battles, and know God is stronger than any other enemy. He gave us the mandate. He gave us the dominion. He gave us the responsibilities, and if we live accordingly, all the rest is in his hands. Are you ready to go? Okay, so you're not hungry yet. Okay. Lisa, do you need to make a dance so you get warm? Okay. I just want to encourage you, my friends. There's so much stuff going on. I tried to sort it out throughout the week to give you enough so you have something to think about. I would like to give you more, but I know you don't have your backpack with you because only a certain amount goes in here. The rest you're going to backpack, correct? But I hope you have enough to think about it. There is much bigger things going on than what the eye can see today. And you and I need to have our eyes open. We have no control over the bigger things. But we have control to prepare us spiritually and mentally to whatever comes to learn to trust the Lord. This is not a game. This is an ultimate battle for the ultimate authority over to whom this earth belongs. And one day, the owner comes back. And he will take everything back. And the Bible tells us, when he comes, he will actually destroy his enemy, spiritually and physically. The day of mercy and grace will be over on the day for the final battle to take his kingdom where it belongs, right into the heart of this earth which he created for you and me. And we're going to see it with our own eyes. Not with these ones, but the other ones we're going to get, 2020. The new body. So you can put your glasses away. We don't need that anymore. You don't have to worry about, oh, my back. You're going to get a brand new body. It's going to be fantastic. And we're going to watch these things. And we're going to have a resurrected body like Jesus Christ has. And we will live down here on this earth forever and ever. He's a pastor. In 1,000 years, he destroys everything. Actually, the Greek word means remaking everything. And how many of you would not like to live in Hawaii on the island? By the Pacific. How many of you would not like to have a nice home? I know Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I don't know what you're going to get. If you don't behave, you get a hut out in the water. If you do good, you get something better. Two huts. We don't have to worry. I don't worry about what we're going to get. I'm worrying about that we are staying the course today. How about that? So I encourage you, stay the course. Keep your eyes open. Take responsibility for your actions. Don't be naive. When you hear something, put it against the word of the living God. Study the Bible, study history, look a little bit how people reacted and what the result was when they reacted a certain way. And you don't want to act like they did if they had bad results. You want to act the way people did when they had good results. And these are decisions and responsibilities which you and I have. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. When we look out into this world, Lord, all we see is people fearful. We see people confused. And then we see a few pockets of excitement. But I know, Lord, excitement comes and excitement goes, but truth stands forever. This morning, I'm just asking, Lord, that you give everyone in this room, everyone who listens around the world, give us open eyes to see what your plan is. Give us ears to hear how the Spirit speaks to our hearts. And Lord, give us the power. We can live according to the mandate you've given us. By your Holy Spirit, this is possible. Lord, that we take responsibility not to try to manipulate other people, but to lead him by a godly example. And by it, many will be set free from their bondages. I thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes. And we still need to know so much more. But first and foremost, Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for caring for this nation. Lord, I know you still have a love for this nation. We have done a lot of things wrong. But your mercy and your grace is available if we humble ourselves and come to you. Lord, our leaders need wisdom. I'm asking to protect our president, his family, those who stand behind them to be the leaders you want them to be. And Lord, I'm just asking to put light on those things that have been done in darkness and need to be exposed. This is all your work, Lord. And Lord, keep our church without spot or wrinkles. Lord, may you work on all of us. Wherever we go, we are not bad examples. We are godly examples. The way we talk, the way we act, the way we do our daily business, Lord, that we are always honest and straightforward. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to be strong enough to see not just things, but to stand firm. You said, Lord, that we shall be courageous and without fear, and we shall go where you told us to go, and you will go before us. And we know that's exactly what's going to happen. Lord, may you give us in this country still an opportunity to turn things around. It's never too late, Lord, until the last breath has been taken. I thank you, Lord, for raising up a new generation who has light. A new generation is excited. A new generation has the future ahead of them and who is willing to stand firm and strong. And Lord, may you raise up millions of those, not just in our nation, but around the world, that the world can be a better place with you in the center of everything. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. That all God's people can say, amen. Ooh, man, that came fast. Would you please stand?